The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go.
Final Girl Standing. It is a podcast about final girls, and it is good.
Uh-oh, we're going to have to get licensed to that song.
Shit!
What you couldn't hear is my jazz hands.
Yes, the jazz hands were prominent. Yeah. They were great.
Thank you.
Welcome to Final Girl Standing. My name is Alyssa. I use they and she pronouns, and I am one half of the dynamic duo that creates this podcast. And the other half is?
My name is Jessie. And I am a star.
I got nothing.
You are a star.
Oh my God, thank you
so
much.
You're the star of my heart, personally.
You're the star of my heart. Oh my God.
This is a podcast where each week, Jessie and I take two final girls from horror movie fame. We pit them against each other in a March Madness style bracket to battle it out to find out who will be the final girl standing.
Alyssa, what's a final girl?
Jessie, I'm so glad you asked. Why don't you tell the folks at home what a final girl is to us?
Okay, I actually have a list.
Okay, great.
Okay, together we have created the criteria. A certain number of people have to die in the film.
Correct.
Not everyone.
Not everyone.
But a certain number of people have to die. And she has to survive the film. She also has to be a key player in eliminating the threat, mm-hmm. whatever that may be, monster, etc. And she has to be the one left to tell the tale.
So romantic.
Indeed. the one we're rooting for.
Hell yeah.
I mean, truly. Embodies the spirit of the final girl.
Spirit is everything.
Mind, spirit, body,
spirit. Spirit is everything.
The franchise girls will get their own
season.
Brackets.
And brackets.
Whole bracket season.
Whole bracket season.
Yeah. And
so stay tuned.
Yes. And while this is the criteria we've come up with, we reserve the right to not abide by any of these criteria at any time, meaning that we get to pick the final girls that we want to put in the bracket, and sometimes they won't always fill that criteria, but like, yeah. It's fine.
Because if you have a problem with it, you can meet me at my house and we'll fight physically.
Nope. So as Alyssa's partner in crime,
Jessie
here,
doesn't want me to physically fight anyone, but just know that I am down.
Can we not fight?
Okay,
though?
It's
okay,
fine.
Great.
Okay.
Don't at us. Okay.
Anyway, let's introduce the final girls that will be battling it out today. Woohoo!
Let's do it.
So we are battling two queens of crying, Dani from Midsommar and Sally from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh my gosh, the tears they fall.
The tears that are shed between the two of these women is just truly iconic. Now. Oh, yes, Jessie.
Oh, just, I was going to say, in the order that we watched the films, mm-hmm. we're going to start with Dani.
Yes.
And I want to know all about Dani.
Great. Let me break it down for you. So, Dani, otherwise known as Dani Ardor, I don't recall when they ever said her last name, but when I looked on the forums, apparently that's her last name.
Ardor like Hodor?
It's spelled A-R-D-O-R. I'm dyslexic, so like, I don't know.
Ardor.
But yeah.
Ardor.
Played by Florence Pugh. That's critical information that everyone needs to know. Florence, yep. Pugh. The first note I have about this film is actually how gay I am for Florence Pugh. Mm. We'll get there. So when it comes to Dani's star sign, originally we know in the film that they said Midsommar takes place between June or July. And so that could technically mean that she was either a Gemini, a Cancer, or a Leo. Now, you know that I do the research on this podcast. Mm. And I found out when Midsommar traditionally is. Midsommar is traditionally, I think, in June, like in the 20s of June. And so that would make her a Cancer.
Yeah, and it tracks.
It does track.
Okay, I have so many thoughts on the Cancer vibes, but I would like to know what other
information. We don't know much more about Dani other than the fact that she's an undergraduate at college and she's dating Christian. Everyone paused a boo.
Christian,
I do not give a
shit.
She
says Christian.
I know, she does, but then the Swedish guy says Christian.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I forgot to boo. Can we do boo again?
Boo! Okay, great. So that is sort of the backstory that we have on Danny. Let's jump into our first impressions.
So I've actually seen this one already.
Yeah.
And we actually saw it together in the
theater. We did, in the theaters.
Yes. And honestly, didn't remember a lot. So it was really great to watch this film again and form some new opinions about our girl, Danny.
Woohoo.
And also just like the film in general. One of the first things I wrote is everyone bad? Like, I don't think I like anyone in
Am
this
I gonna
movie.
Hate everyone?
Yeah, and I think I kind of did, TBH. Also, the use of mirrors in this film needs a special shout out. There is like constant mirror reflection work in the like filming and stuff. And it is
chef's kiss.
Love it. Yes. Okay. Love it. So, okay. So things to note about Danny, trauma. Is one of the first things to note about Danny. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Her boyfriend is not Seth Rogen, by the way.
Yes. So when we began the film, Jesse turns to me and goes, who plays her boyfriend again? Seth Rogen? And I was like, absolutely the fuck not, Jesse.
But in certain profile shots, the gentleman resembles Mr. Rogen.
He doesn't, but that's okay.
But honestly, I'm so sorry to Mr. Rogen because Christian sucks.
He
shit,
sucks.
So she's got some issues, especially very cancer-related issues. So first of all, she's very formal.
Cancer, the star sign.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Thank you. Uh-huh. The star sign, astrologically cancer.
Not the terrible, terrible disease.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Okay, so she's very family-oriented, very cancer-like, makes the call about her sister and her concerns, you know what I mean, in the beginning, for sure. But she's also, like, pretty passive, which is pretty cancer-y of her, kind of a bad communicator in general. And she's very, like, susceptible to being talked out of whatever it is she was about to say, like, pretty instantly.
She's very susceptible to a lot of vibes, including cult vibes.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, she doesn't feel comfortable, like, telling her boyfriend that she's crying about her sister, but she does feel comfortable going to, like, Sweden with him. Or
yeah.
Which is, like...
to be honest, the logic of the movie doesn't always track, but I don't think it's supposed to.
Also, they've been together for 4 years.
Four years!
And she's like, I'm too much. It's like...
I don't... It's... I'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah, okay. But. So, oh, and I wrote, LOL, the villain is Christian.
Yeah, the villain is Christian.
Yeah, and I thought I liked Pele. I was like, oh my gosh. Also, I thought his name was Helsing.
Helsing.
In the beginning, I wrote, is Helsing like a murder scout? So,
murder scout.
Yeah, because like Pele, like while he seemed to be the most empathetic, he also was like the definitely most... bring people in to get killed.
He's the most interested in Danny, too. Yes. He's like, I really wanted you to come.
Yeah, he's a predator.
He drew that picture and he gave her that unconsensual kiss when she became May Queen.
Yeah, we do not stand Pele.
Unconsensual kissing.
Yeah, okay. So them's my impression.
Great. So my first impression is, I very similarly to you, I said we kick off the movie with trauma, right? It's how we start the movie. Boom, trauma, right? And when it comes to Danny as a human being, the one thing that I said is that she is the queen of gaslighting herself, right? So everyone is gaslighting each other in this movie, but Danny is particularly good at gaslighting herself. And honestly, I think that she would have done better, would have fared better in this whole thing if she had just really upped those therapy sessions up. Because she says that she went to therapy, right? We know that she's been in therapy, obviously, due to the trauma. This queen needs to be in therapy. But if we were upping those sessions to like twice a week, I think we really could have broken some ground there. Maybe she wouldn't be with Christian. But some more things that I have to say as far as my first impressions go. She takes a lot of drugs casually. Like...
And she's taking medication for mental illness and taking drugs casually.
She takes the sleeping pills. She takes the hallucinogens. She just be taking drugs very casually.
I wrote that down when she just took the tea.
Yeah.
And was like, didn't ask any questions.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's MDMA probably. Yeah. Like, okay.
You're drinking straight up MDMA right now.
And you didn't ask a single question.
Okay. Yeah. So those are just kind of, honestly, my first impressions of Danny as a person is more just she's kind of a person who lets people walk all over her. And I don't know, I think her strengths, we'll get there in a second, are not going to come in her like ability to like physically fight, but more in her ability to withstand trauma.
Okay. She just
like many final girls, as we're finding throughout these episodes, just happens to make it.
To survive.
Like, past all these things. Yeah. And sometimes that's a big strength.
That's
sometimes.
A big strength.
Okay.
All right. Should we hop into scores?
Yeah. I want to get into scores. I do want to make sure that I cover the moral of the story for this film.
Great.
So Midsommar gets 3.
Okay,
so,
great.
The 3 that I wrote down, first off, the moral of the story is feel your feelings.
Mm.
Because, like, she is very much about, like, shoving the feelings down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's an isolate and then cry mm-hmm, person. Mm-hmm. And it's never, like, in an effort to move through the trauma. It's in an effort to just be like, no one look at me while I cry about the fact that I lost everyone I love. Okay,
yeah,
we need to feel our feelings.
That really cathartic moment that we're all feeling when the group of them cry together.
Ugh, it's great.
It makes me horny for crying. Because, like, when I saw that, I was just like, yeah, who do I need to get together in my group of friends to just, like, scream cry together? You know what I mean?
That's my new boy band, Horny for Crying.
Horny for Crying.
Baby, I'm horny for crying. Okay. So that's the first moral. Second moral of the story is don't do drugs with people you don't know.
Real.
She's in the hills of Sweden where the sun doesn't set. First of all, disorienting from the get-go.
Weird.
And just, like, takes mushrooms via peer pressure
mm-hmm.
from her friend's asshole friend.
Gaslights herself into taking drugs mm-hmm. that she didn't want to take.
Yeah, just don't do them with people you don't. It's not going to go good.
Yeah.
You're going to end up running into the forest and falling asleep for hours.
This also brings me back to one other thing that is sort of my first impression,
yeah.
and that is the fact that, please hold while I pull it up.
Horny for your tears.
Oh, what? So.
Horny for your tears.
So, the one thing that I think is very interesting about this movie is the real horror of the movie is how vastly uncomfortable I am between every person-to-person conversation. Like, the uncomfortableness I feel when any of the men are talking to Danny or any of the men are talking to themselves, I'm just like, how do I get out of this conversation because I feel so uncomfortable right now?
Yeah.
That's the real horror, is how uncomfortable everyone is feeling at all times.
Yeah, I mean, truly the worst vibes person. Well, I guess it's kind of Christian, but it's also vape boy.
Asshole vape boy.
Correct.
Drink every time asshole vape boy vapes.
Exactly. You're in the, like, beautiful hills of Sweden. And then you see, like, ripping some fat cotton in the hills.
Just puffs of smoke.
Yeah. And it just really kills the vibe out there.
Okay, sorry.
Okay,
last one.
Final one. Final mm-hmm. Rule. Okay. It's so the cult seems very, like, content with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is all related to mm-hmm. the breath work.
Ah.
Like, never underestimate the strength of the pelvic floor.
Ooh.
Like, do you see what I mean? Like, when they breathe in.
yeah.
And they do it so much. And I'm like,
and they do it well.
This is the key, I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure, to, like, everything that's going on. Like,
yeah.
As long as you've got that breath work down, like, you will never be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you will, like, never need to deal with any kind of ailments up until you're 72 and then you die.
And then you die.
And 72.
Perfect.
Not so bad.
Honestly, yes, is it a cult? Sure. But, like, the breath work makes me believe that maybe they're onto something.
They're maybe onto something. Okay.
All right.
So, them's the morals.
Amazing.
So, let's get into some scores.
Scores. Let's get into it.
Because this is a battling podcast.
It is. We're battling.
And therefore, we need to take some stats.
Stats!
For these ladies. So, first off, for Danny, I mean, 0 out of 10 for standing your ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, she can't, she starts a conversation and folds like a deck of cards.
Yes.
Like, anything she says immediately
has no backbone.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. For tears,
mm-hmm.
1,000 waterfalls of emotion.
Wow.
Like, the crying is, when she does release her emotions, ugh.
Chef's kiss.
Pièce de résistance.
Florence Pugh's face.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, she's
the acting skills on this woman.
Mm, yeah. Mm. Clothing choices.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead. I didn't think put any Tim Gunns on here because it's not about fashion necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I put fashion choices equals cozy bozy.
And mobile.
Lots of movement.
Very mobile.
Exactly. She mm-hmm. can
she can
get
move.
Out there. You're not watching me from the podcast, but I'm moving my arms a lot. She's very, like, easy to, like, be, yeah, stretchy.
She can be
basically.
On the go.
She's on the go. Mm-hmm. Stamina and balance when she is dancing as the May Queen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It gives me... Okay, she's not great with the choreography.
Yeah, I mean, but she hasn't been dancing for thousands of years like these people have been.
Correct. Yes. So, but the fact that she can stay standing
on that platform,
tripping too. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say like when she's doing the dancing
part. Oh, the dance. Yeah,
she's
yeah.
She's like spinning that much and she's on mushrooms and she doesn't fall over. Like,
I know, weird.
Yeah. And the balance on the board as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She is the human charcuterie up there.
The human charcuterie.
Mm-hmm. Also, the final outfit, Slay Flower Slug.
Slay Flower Slug!
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Well, final thing I'm going to say here in terms of scores is knowing thyself 0 out of 10.
Mm.
Because there are multiple occasions where shit is going down and she knows it is bad and wrong.
Yeah.
And she can feel something bad is about to happen when the people fall off the ledge and she's doing it. When somebody else... something bad happens. Anyway, she's got a face of like, I know something bad's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And she never trusts her gut, never intervenes. It's real like standby energy. What is that? Bystander energy. Mm-hmm. There we go. And it's not it in terms of fighting.
So going into my scores.
Yeah,
are you done with your scores?
I'm done with my scores. Great.
Going into my scores, one of the things that I say is trauma nap skills, 10 out of 10. What do I mean by a trauma nap, Jesse? So a trauma nap, for those who don't have trauma, is essentially when you are experiencing something that makes you feel uncomfortable or upset, and so you just take a nap. Now, what Danny does this not by actually physically taking a nap, but by going blank in the face, and she just kind of lets things happen. Her trauma nap skills are good, meaning that she can just vibe with whatever fucking trauma is happening and just go into trauma nap state. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So again, this might be a fight of who can survive longer with the weird shit that's happening.
Yep.
More scores. I said crying skills, 10 out of 10, that one Kim Kardashian meme. For those of you who don't know, it's that one where she's making that face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We'll post it on the Instagram. Lip quivering skills. Immaculate.
Yes.
Immaculate. Let's see. Able to vibe with a cult, right? Able to like come into vibes and just kind of go with the fucking flow.
Adaptable.
She goes with the flow to her detriment most of the time, but she will just go with whatever's going on.
Yeah. I mean, they do definitely like prey upon her
100%
and manipulate her in her
but she goes
state.
With the flow.
You're not wrong. She at the end, she's May Queen.
She's the fucking May Queen.
She makes the best of a bad situation.
Her panic attack skills. I mean, give this woman an Oscar because she can have a panic attack like nobody's business. There are fits of crying on the floor. There are subtle panic attacks in the airplane bathroom. Like, she can have those panic attacks on the turn of a dime. She can access those deep emotions. And again, I think I mentioned this last episode or one of the episodes where this might come down to who can cry harder.
Mm.
Her crying skills are pretty strong. And her panic attack skills, even stronger.
Okay, these are really strong points. And it's interesting because I feel like, wait, do you have more scores?
A couple more.
Okay, wait, no. Well, I just think it's interesting because I think we're going to see a really interesting contrast between Sally and Danny.
Betwixt.
In terms of betwixt thems.
Mm-hmm.
because of their different ways of expressing themselves in that way. So continue.
The last thing I wanted to say is just, I know we are kind of talking about these characters at the end of the film, where they're at the end of the film. Mm. And at the end of the film, Dani is an unhinged queen with nothing to lose.
The smile.
The
at
smile.
The very end.
That smile says, fuck it.
That smile is like, oh good, my boyfriend's burning in
a
the
bear
yellow
suit.
Barn.
All right, those are all my scores.
Okay, these are very good. Okay, this is, we are gathering data.
We are gathering data.
So it's time to meet Sally.
Sally Hardesty from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Again, another queen that we don't know a whole lot about, but let me tell you what I do know. Sally's family or grandfather owns a house in Texas. And they used to go there when they were kids and like, I don't know, do kid shit, with her brother, Franklin. She used to go there with her brother, Franklin. Franklin is a disabled man of reason, meaning that he's the only one asking reasonable questions. We'll talk about it in a second. Also, we didn't need to research Sally's star sign because they told us in the fucking movie.
Sally is
a Capricorn, and that feels correct to me personally.
Yeah. Capricorns are hard to nail down, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, as a Capricorn rising, I can say I don't vibe. I don't vibe with Capricorns, even though I am a Capricorn rising. But that's honestly most of the information we have about Sally. She's a Capricorn bitch. She, you know, has a family who has a house in Texas, and she has a brother named Franklin. That's the most things we know about Sally.
Yeah, and she's got some swaggy bell bottoms.
She does have some swaggy bell bottoms.
Okay. So should we start with first impressions?
Let's do it. First impressions.
Okay. So, first off, when we, like, she's kind of elusive in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a whole lot with Sally going on. So, this was the first time I ever saw this movie.
Yes.
By the way.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, 1974, back in the day when chainsaw was two words.
Yes.
Yes. First time Jesse has ever seen it.
Correct. I have virgin eyes on this one.
Virgin eyes.
And because of that, I always want to be like, behind these virgin eyes.
It's,
behind
it's these not virgin good.
okay. So, yeah, I wrote 84 minutes only. I love it already.
Fantastic.
Right after we watched Midsommar, the 2.5 hour long cry fest, I was like, Jesus Christo. Like, give me something I love. And let me tell you, I love this film.
Great.
Basically, when we're talking about first impressions of Sally, what happens is, like, there's a hitchhiker in the car. She's one of the ones to recommend that they pick the hitchhiker up.
Yeah. So she's dumb.
Yeah, well, yeah. But this was, like, the 70s. This was, like, a big thing back then.
People just pick. I know. Can you imagine?
No.
It's 2022.
Absolutely not.
You see some rando on the side of the road and you're like, hey, let's pick that guy up.
Maybe we've just seen too many horror films.
Maybe.
So very open to hitchhikers, comrade, is what I wrote. Yes. Capricorn, obviously. The pants, no bra, we love
a no bra 70s mom.
The hair
is very akin to 70s hairstyles of the time, like we saw in Carrie.
It's giving Brady Bunch.
It's giving,
you know,
it's
what I mean,
giving,
but like hot
argan
Brady
oil
Bunch. It's giving hot Brady Bunch.
Yes, hot Brady Bunch.
Help. I said the alternate title to this film is Knives Out.
Hell
just, like,
yeah.
Knife after knife. They're just, like, showing off. I was like, oh, my God. Also, is this hitchhiker a psycho or is he just, like, a laborer? Like,
this movie.
This
movie has a lot of very interesting undertones that have to do with class and disability and gender and, like, all those things. Mm-hmm. But speaking of which, I'm just going to shout out a podcast that knows nothing about us. If you like to hear about Texas Chainsaw Massacre from the perspective of queer people with disabilities, Girls, Guts, and Giallo, a really good podcast, has an episode on it. So I know that that's not our podcast, but I'm going to plug it anyway because we love uplifting other people.
Yeah, and we love a perspective.
We do love a perspective.
Like, we want to know. Okay, we want to know your thoughts and feelings.
Yes.
Okay. Hit me with your impressions.
So my first impressions of this movie is everyone in this film has to be high. Like, everyone has to be smoking some sweet, sweet ganj because literally at one point they're all in, like, the house together and they're just maniacally laughing at fucking nothing. And I'm like, oh, y'all good? Like, are y'all, like, did you guys hit, like, the bowl hard? Like, what is going on here? So my first thoughts are everyone's making poor decisions. Everyone's high. It's the 70s. It's just the vibe, right? Also, I will say the first impressions that this movie just gives me in general is just like, I don't want to go to Texas. And I know, Jesse, you are from Texas. And I was just wondering if you could dispel the rumor that this is what Texas is like.
Well, I mean, like, I hope obviously it's not like this. Also, shout out to Fort Worth because they totally shout out Fort Worth in the movie, which made, I was like,
shout out
Panther City. So basically,
because as a California girl who grew up, born and raised in the Bay Area, like, that's what I thought Texas was growing up.
Yeah, it's incorrect. Actually, a lot of California people have thought that since I moved here. They were like, you don't have an accent. And like, did you ride a horse? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I mean, like, yeah, I did, but like,
but it's not because I was Texas, because I'm a horse girl.
I'm actually not a horse girl.
This is an anti-horse girl podcast.
Oh no, I don't want to be anti-horse girls.
You know
the theory behind horse girls is that, like, they usually get their first orgasm from riding.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they're, like, so into it.
That's iconic.
Yeah, right? Wow. I mean, yeah.
So I take back my stance about being anti-horse girl.
I stan a horse girl.
I stan a horse girl. Okay, we're getting off track.
Okay, my bad.
So wait, I was giving first impressions.
Please.
Okay, so again, everyone's high. It's Texas, you know, that's the vibe. Let's see, any other first impressions I have? Everyone's everyone's tolerance for weird shit in this movie is pretty high. Like, they get this hitchhiker in the car, and, like, off the bat, this man is covered in blood, and he's just, like, saying weird shit to them. And everyone's just kind of vibing with it. And they continue to vibe with it as he lights something on fire, as he cuts someone. And they're just like, keep him in the car.
The self-harm is the first thing.
Yeah.
I wrote that down somewhere in here. Like, the first cut is the deepest.
The first cut is the deepest.
What royalties are we going to have?
I know, right?
Okay. Okay. Continue.
God, we don't own any of these music. Yeah, we're just a couple of musical theater hosts.
We're just goofy goofs.
We're just goofy goobers.
Just let us.
I'm a goofy goob. Okay, I'm sorry. Rock! Okay. Anyway, those are my first impressions. Let's jump into the moral of the story.
Okay, the moral of the story is, and it should be pretty fucking obvious, if you knock on someone's door and no one is home, Move on.
Don't enter their home.
Leave the property.
It's not your house.
It's like, so for perspective for the listener, I am a Leatherface stan. I think I've written some. Can I want a quick, just give me a moment.
No, I want everyone to take a moment to hear Jesse's stance about Leatherface.
So, okay, first off, in the beginning, they're talking about how there's these grave robbers that are like digging up bodies and then like turning them into art, and which is them, right? So because of this, when they first...
I would like to just point out the fact that you called it turning it into art versus what they actually say happened, which is mutilating bodies and positioning them in graveyards. Continue.
I definitely saw the first sculpture and said, do we separate the art from the artist?
Oh my god.
I didn't even know that I liked Leatherface yet.
Okay.
But I saw the vision. Oh no, this is gonna get me.
Tell people why you like Leatherface.
Okay, so I like Leatherface because, okay, there's so many reasons, but first off, these assholes being the van
the
people,
family
the van
people. Oh, the people,
yeah, not the family, sorry. The van people go knocking on his door and then they bust in and Leatherface is just like chilling doing farm work shit. Maybe it's kind of scary, sketchy farm work shit, or maybe he's making art, but regardless, they walk into his house and he looks scared.
Yeah.
And then he frantically, in a panic move, kills them. And the only way he knows how, by like using
like
the methods of
slaughtering
an animal. Thank you. And he's panicking when he kills the girl. He goes and sits down and puts his hands in his head.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. Puts his head in his hands. Like, he is stressed.
Yeah.
Also, it gets a zoom in on his face and you can tell that like there's some stuff going on with his teeth. Like, they are imperfect. And I have a feeling, based on the dickheads that his family are, that he got bullied a lot, which hence the putting the leather face on, you know? And you know what I'm just discovering is that like they weren't murdering people. They were just digging up already dead bodies.
Exactly.
So it's like, and then the rest of it is his art. And like, I love the interior decorating of his house.
Yes, go off.
The red wall that has all the like skulls on it is a fucking mood. Like, I don't know. Have y'all ever been to Paxton Gate in SF? Like,
hell yeah.
Shit goes hard.
I will say that I think this is something that we talked about a little bit, but I think that many fans of this movie will know that, like, there is theory and thought about how Leatherface is, like, queer-coded and also, like, a representation in the film, imperfect or not, of, you know, disability. And so there's some interesting conversation to be had there about, like, whether or not Leatherface is the villain of the story, right?
Yeah, like, to me, he's, like, 100% not.
Yeah.
Like, to me, he's great. Like, I mean, he, like, yeah, he does, like,
cut. Does he violently murder people? Sure. But should we separate the art from the artist?
When he, like, the girl he cuts, what's her name's finger?
Uh-huh.
Sally, the one we're talking about.
Sally.
Whoops.
That's right. We are talking about Sally, are we not?
Whoops, this is now a Leatherface podcast. He cuts Sally's finger, but just to give the blood to his dead grandpa who then becomes alive. Like, he cares for the elderly. Like, and...
So let's jump into scores.
Okay, I'll do my scores first.
Great,
right?
Okay.
Oh my god, I love you, Leatherface, so much. Just a misunderstood artist. Okay. Let's go to Sally. Okay, she knows first aid. She fixes Franklin's arm,
That's 11 out of 10 for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just the skills, you know what I mean, to jump in the moment. Everybody else is just, like, freaking out mm-hmm. and in their heads. And, like, Sally comes in and wraps up Franklin's arm. Mm-hmm. So win there.
Negative 5 out of 10 for caring for your sibling.
Yeah.
She, like, fuck just that. Leaves him fuck downstairs. That attitude.
And they're just, like, laughing high off their ass probably, yeah. whatever. And just, like, left him downstairs, which is fucked.
Patience, 2 out of 10. Mm-hmm.
There's a time when she and Franklin are, like, chilling, talking. Mm-hmm. And, like, Franklin asks her, like, 2 questions. And she's like, don't fucking talk to me.
I know.
Exactly what she says.
She's a mean sister.
Yeah, she says, what now?
It's yeah.
Like, he asked you, like, one thing,
he bro. Is your disabled brother who literally came on this trip, did not want to come on this trip, mm-hmm. and, like, is being forced to go into incredibly inaccessible places where he can't be.
Yes. And she does, like, pulling and fighting before she does talking.
Yeah.
So negative 7 out of 10 communication points mm-hmm. as well.
Okay.
We've got a 10 for style in terms of the bell bottoms, mm-hmm. but we have a negative 18 for running away mm. because the floppiness mm-hmm. does seem like it's interfering with her her stance
yeah.
as she goes.
I also put the bell bottoms as actually something against her because they hinder her ability to run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think combined mine's like a negative 8 then. Yeah. So kind of fucks that shit up. Her screaming is very unsettling.
Mm.
So where we said that Danny is a like isolate and weeper, mm-hmm. then we've got Sally who is run and flail.
Yeah,
like it's very
it's
gesticulation. I'm moving my arms but no one can see it.
God, it's theatrical.
Correct. Oh yeah, it's this dramatic like yeah, we nailed that. Okay. Great. Yeah, master of flailing.
Great.
Oh, jumps out a fucking window.
Twice.
So
twice jumps out of a fucking window.
She's got some fearlessness
yeah.
in her 100 P.
So my scores are going to be pretty simple. Number one, negative 10 for just being a mean sister. Mm. No one likes a mean sister.
Yeah.
I said the bell bottoms are too long to run in. Mm. Too long to run in. I also said that she's a weird runner. Her running skills are odd.
Yes.
And she also gets stuck in a pile of sticks. So her agility skills, not great.
It's not good.
She's not really great with the running, like, productively. She's more, like, running for the drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
She's
I mean?
She's got the agility of the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say another strong stamina girl, though. She screams and cries and runs for a very long time and does not, like, stop. She is, like, when she's in the house and everyone's, like, trying to torture her and shit, she's screaming to the gods above, and it is loud and dramatic, mm-hmm. and she doesn't get tired. She just keeps going.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
She does get subdued by a broom at one point.
I think I wrote that down too somewhere. Like, she has a giant knife, and it's just, like, falls.
And she just gets beaten with a broomstick. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And the last thing I will say about Sally is that she is the perfect victim. She gives victim vibes to me. Mm. And this is something that I mentioned about Danny might also kind of have victim vibes, but I don't know. Their victim vibes are different.
Yes, because Danny's constantly trying to mask the fact that she's a victim.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And be like, everything's fine, actually. Uh-huh. Everything's fine.
And Sally's really leaning into it.
Sally's like, the world will know.
Yeah, the world will know I'm a victim. Okay. Nailed Is it time it. To fight?
It's time to fight.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Can you please set the scene?
Yes. So you might be thinking to yourself, we have Sally. We have Danny. Where are they going to fight? Great question, audience. They're going to fight in the creepiest barn that you've ever seen in your entire life. Imagine an old rusty looking shack.
Oof.
These two bitches walk into the shack, stare each other down and think, shit, I got to fight a bitch. So, where should we start this fight?
I mean,
who throws the first blow?
See, I feel like the blow does not happen right away.
No, yeah, yeah.
Because they're both such runners.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, there's bales of hay,
mm-hmm.
right? And, like, Danny sees Sally,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's kind of, like, an energy. Like, remember I mentioned she, like, has gut instincts, but she's, like, bad at acting on them, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think she, like, detects the threat and, like, does her bystander thing where she tries to just, like, get behind a bale of hay.
Yeah. So here's my thought.
Yeah, okay, tell me.
My thought is the barn is locked from the outside.
Oh, my God.
The barn is completely locked, and they got to get out of this fucking barn. But only one of them is allowed to get out of the barn.
Okay.
So everyone starts panicking, right? Yeah, everyone starts panicking. Everyone's banging on shit, trying to find a way out. Lots of screaming, a lot of crying is happening, right? And eventually it becomes very clear to both of these bitches that only one of them is getting out alive, right? And so we have a pitchfork in the corner near the hay. And I think Sally grabs a pitchfork. But Sally doesn't know what to do with a pitchfork. So she starts flailing it. She starts going, you know what I mean, with the pitchfork. Danny goes into trauma defense, right?
Okay.
She goes blank, right? And she's just kind of standing there while Sally is flailing with a pitchfork.
Okay.
Danny's strength, in my opinion, is the ability to survive weird shit.
Okay.
Right? I don't think Danny is the one to grab the pitchfork from her. I think Danny is the one to try to find a way out of the barn in a more sneaky and subtle way.
Okay. So
go.
So in my mind then, if she's trying to find a way out, she's trying to find the way up.
Yes.
Because there's probably like a little roost.
Hayloft.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a little window.
A window.
You know what I'm saying?
For someone to fall out of.
For somebody to crash through, maybe. But so I think she starts heading for a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the vibe that Sally decides to like run at her with pitchfork in hand a bit. Like she kind of gets a handle on it for a second. But I would imagine that upon trying to charge Danny while she's climbing up the ladder, like Danny just has to kick one foot back and the pitchfork's gonna fall.
Yeah, because because Sally's a chaotic bitch.
She's disarmed by a broom. Like, that doesn't, and like Florence Pugh and like her leg strength is going to outdo Sally.
Have you seen Florence Pugh's thighs?
Fuck. Yeah, it's great. And Sally seems very like, she's got that 70s noodle vibe, you know what I'm saying?
Noodle vibes. Mm-hmm. Gives noodle vibes.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, so she kicks the pitchfork down and she's on her way up.
Okay, great. Danny's on her way up?
Correct.
Okay, Danny's climbing up to the hayloft, right? And Sally, now that she is disarmed by the pitchfork, starts to do her favorite activity, which is running weird, right? So she starts running up to Danny, trying to grab her by the legs, right? Trying to pull her down.
Mm.
Danny, in my opinion.
Yes.
She notices that she's being attacked, right? And so what she does is she starts kicking, right? She starts kicking with those thighs, with those Florence Pugh thighs.
Yes.
And she kicks Danny, or she kicks Sally in the head, and Sally falls to the ground and starts bleeding.
Mm.
Now, the blood triggers Danny, and she's like, oh my God, there's blood. Like, I'm getting cult vibes, flashbacks to the cult, right? I'm getting flashbacks to my murder-suicide sister. Like, flashbacks are happening. So she, in that moment, is just like paused.
Okay. So she's paused.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, Sally is really like, she'll keep fucking moving even when bad things are happening to her. We saw her get cut and still continue to flail and cry.
Yes.
So even though she's fallen down and she's been cut, she's used to having blood all over her body, right?
Uh-huh.
As we've seen.
Uh-huh.
So she gets back up and starts to climb. But the problem, even though Danny is frozen, as she's climbing, her bell bottoms get caught on the bottom of the ladder. Yeah, no, she's fucking stuck and is going to have to rip these pants in order to...
She's going to be pantless?
She's going to have to...
And if we know anything about people in the 70s, her underwear are going to be far too tight.
She's going to be so uncomfortable. So she's going to have to, like, dis-impant herself.
Dispant herself?
Yes. And Danny, during the time that she gets caught, Danny makes it up the ladder, but is laying on her back trying to gather her wits, which are not coming very well.
Okay. So Danny's on her back, coming to her wits. Sally is now pantsless, bleeding from the head, but up in the hayloft.
Yeah, I think after she gets her pants off, she's like, let's fucking go. I mean, she's not doing it very coordinatedly, but.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Sally, pantsless, running for the hayloft, right? She's going for that window, right? We know if there's anything this bitch can do, it's jump out a fucking window.
Oh, so her goal is like not to harm anyone. It's just
she's to get the fuck out.
She just wants to get the fuck out.
Because here's
they're
my
runners.
Because they're runners, right? So my thought is Sally's going for the window. Danny fucking is like a puddle of trauma on the floor, right? But I mentioned this earlier about Danny, and that is, again, her ability to survive weird shit. So this might be breaking the rules a little bit. So
hit me with it.
Hold on with me.
I love a brick and rule.
I think just a villain of ill repute. No one really knows who this person is. They just saw this barn and was like, I'm going to commit arson. And so they light this barn with these two bitches on fire.
You love fire.
I love
you just
fire.
Bring a fucking fire.
But it reminds me of the end of Midsummer.
Okay, so maybe
During some flailing, mm-hmm. at one point, a lantern gets kicked over.
Oh, I like that better.
There's like a fucking lantern, yeah. in the barn.
So someone kicks over a lantern.
Probably Sally. Probably based on Sally. Her limb.
Her limb.
extension. Okay.
So now the barn is on fire.
Oh my God.
This means that they know there's only one exit and there might only be one bitch getting out of this, right? So now both of them are in fight mode. I want both of these bitches revved up. I want them ready to fight. So there's one window, there's two girls, and only one of them can get out of the window. So now we're going to go to bringing it back to our roots, a bare knuckle brawl between the two of them.
Okay, because I was going to say something.
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, I think mm-hmm. that while Sally is booking it and Danny's uh-huh. coming too, Danny's laying there, uh-huh. and the barn is on fire, like uh-huh. shit's going bad. Mm-hmm. Also, remember that like weird nightmare she had where smoke was like coming out of her mouth?
Yes.
Because of the trauma. So uh-huh. like the smoke is rising and she's like, shit, I need to do something now. Uh-huh. Like, right? Mm-hmm. And I think as she's laying there, she looks to her side and just out of the reach of her hand is a hammer. Yeah.
Like a sledgehammer?
Like a hammer that, yeah, would
resemble. That you kill cows with?
That you could, yeah, like a sledgehammer. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so she like gets the gumption in her fingers and grabs said hammer and is on her way uh-huh. to stop Sally from getting to the window.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If she survived Sweden, then that means she saw them bash the head in mm-hmm. of the people who mm-hmm. were 72.
Yes,
and no one can be 72, as we all know.
Yes. So she, no one can live past 72.
And she's just like, you're 72, is what she
said. So she goes in. She goes into, again, tapping into trauma, and she's like, I'm having a nom flashback. And so she picks up a hammer, is like, I know what they did, and I'm going to do what they did.
She's like, May Queen rules, bitch. Yeah. And like, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So she bashes her?
Well, I mean, she's headed that way. Tell okay. me what happens.
I think she bashes her again.
Okay.
Because Sally already got bashed by her foot in the head.
Yeah.
Remember earlier?
Oh, so she's got
double head trauma.
Oh, my God.
So Sally's got double head trauma, and she bashes her in the head, right? Sally's bleeding. Sally's doing her favorite thing, which is, you know
oh
what I mean?
Oh, my God. And the hammer is covered in blood and some of Sally's designer hair.
Oh, my God. The hair. Oh, my God, the hair. Okay, yeah. So we got blood, hair. We got two bitches fighting for a window, right? So we now have Sally covered in blood. I think Sally's move in this instance is to, obviously, she's stumbling, right? She's like, oh, my God, I can't see. I can't blah, blah, blah. I think her next move is to charge Danny while screaming.
Yeah.
And be like,
so she charges her. Mm-hmm. And I think that when she charges her.
Uh-huh.
I think that when she charges her, they both go out of the window. Yes. Yes. They both crash through the window in a one last Hail Mary from Sally. And using Danny as like a human shield, there we go, against the glass.
She bashes out of the window. The window.
And they both tumble out of the barn.
Does one of them die?
You tell me.
I think Danny breaks Sally's fall.
And Danny dies and Sally wins.
Yes!
Oh my God.
Sally moves on.
Oh my God, Sally rises from the barn ashes like a fucking phoenix, somehow still alive from the hammerhead
trauma. From the two wounds on her head?
I would imagine that like Danny has some trouble with like physically really harming someone. I don't think she had like that hard of a hit.
Yeah, yeah.
But
she has two open wounds on her head.
Yeah, Sally somehow, but she also had like a million broken bones at the end of the film. Like somehow she survived.
Yeah.
And she just survived. This fight.
She jumped the fuck out of that window, broke her fall with Danny, climbed in the back of a pickup truck, and started maniacally laughing on her way to the next fight.
Folks.
You heard it here first. Our next person to move up in the bracket is Sally.
From Texas Chain Space Saw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw, one, two words, massacre. Oh my God. Well, thank you for joining us for yet another episode of Final Girl Standing.
That was riveting. I'm riveted.
I'm also riveted.
Okay. So tune in next week for our next matchup. We've got Grace from Ready or Not
and Maddie from Hush. Woohoo!
I can't wait. I truly don't know what's going to happen. This was so much fun.
I had a lot of fun.
Okay.
Final Girl Standing. It is a podcast about final girls. And it is good.
We don't own the rights to this Beatles song. Do, do, do.
Please don't sue us.
chugga 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 chugga
chugga. Oh my goodness, what's that?
It's the appreciation train pulling into the appreciation station, Jesse. Thank you to first and foremost Devin McNaughton, our lovely dev dog who recorded our what would we call that, Jesse?
It's our intro. It's our warning.
It's our warning, it's our, yeah. Our explicit content warning.
Yeah.
So thank you, Devin, for recording that for us. I love you, and I want to hold your hand. Also, shout out to the Burly Girlies who wrote and sing and perform and star in the classic bop, Whore for Horror. That is our opening number. So thank you for being awesome.
Mm, it's a bop. It's a jam. I listen to it even outside of the podcast.
Like, it's a jam bop.
Yeah, it's a jam bop for sure. I want to thank Prince Jackson and the Goodnight Network. Prince, you made our dreams come true, and this is a Goodnight production because of you believed in us, so thank you so much.
Thanks for believing in us. Also, so let's throw out some general gratitudes. Mm. Some general gratitudes I have, as always, Jesse, you the homie, you the star. You're the only one who knows how to make the microphones work, so we need you.
Blinky it's light crucial. One circle, baby.
Blinky light one circle, baby. Also, I want to thank, this is like a general shout out, actually, to Girls Guts and Giallo, which I shouted out in the middle of the episode. Go find them on where you get your podcasts. It's a really, really great podcast that you should all go be listening to right now.
I need to listen to that podcast for sure.
It's really good.
I want to thank my fellow podcaster co-host, Alyssa. Thank you for your big brain and your great ideas and the lulls that you give my heart. I also want to thank Leatherface for being my guy, man. I actually don't know how Leatherface identifies, but I gotta tell you, it's the best. And I want to thank you, the listener, for listening to me rant about Leatherface for a solid 5 minutes. So much appreciate. And just thank you so much for listening to us and our giggles and gobbles. I don't know.
Our giggles and gobbles.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to follow us on the social medias, you should do it because we have an Instagram and we have a Twitter and they are functioning. So you can follow us on Instagram at Final Girl Standing Pod, and then you can follow us on Twitter at @FinalGirl_pod, and we will be posting the brackets, the updated brackets, as well as some fun and funky fresh content for your feed. So go follow us.
Love it. Yeah. Next week, in fact, we are going to be battling two more Final Girls.
Who are they
going to
be?
Yeah. Okay. So it's going to be Grace from Ready or Not.
Swag.
And Maddie from Hush. Ugh. We love them so much.
It's going to be fucked up.
So it's your assignment to watch those movies this week so that you can get up to speed so that we can talk tea with y'all when the time comes.
Swag in a bag. All right. As always, we're going to end this episode by just taking a moment of silence for Dani. She cried hard and, you know, she's gonna rest hopefully peacefully with her sister and her family.
It's time
in heaven.
For her to rest in peace.
Yeah, I think so. So here we go. Let's do a moment of silence. And silence. Amen.
Amen. Hail Leatherface.
Hail Leatherface.